Alright, you're listening to another episode of the Anime Guru Podcast. For this episode, I am on my own. Unfortunately, Cassidy has once again disappeared, and Andy and I have absolutely no idea what we want to talk about together, so pretty much, it's just me. Sorry about that. And for today's episode, I'll be talking about something that I am very passionate about, that is John C. JG. I should say a person, but I'm not sure if he really exists, so I'm just gonna say thing. If you've been around on YouTube and you like to play a game known as Halo, you will likely come across a video called Master Chief Sucks at Halo. And that was like 2007 when it came out. And it's basically Master Chief, an action figure of Master Chief, playing Halo. And the joke is that Master Chief is basically the internet. And is voiced by Microsoft Sam. Can't spell, foul language, no use of grammar, and pretty much makes nothing but inane, horrible comments about people's moms, and spreads, does nothing but basically trash talk, and is an overall horrible person that pretty much no one would want to live around. All he does all day is play Halo, troll on the internet, and well, that's it. Okay, he basically lives the life of an AG podcaster. Even now, my life mostly consists of trolling and video games and anime. That's about the only thing that separates me from Master Chief, other than my ability to present coherent thoughts every now and then. And back then, John had basically released the show under the horrible, horrible name Digital Fear. That is fear with a PH and two threes. And he basically makes fun of it in a later episode and is like, yeah, I'm changing my name on here to John C. JG. Basically John C. Graham for his name. Which, I don't know, as a professional, I don't know if I'd want to basically tell people, hey, I make this horrible internet series where we have toys saying swear words, etc., etc. Ah, but along the lines of Master Chief Sucks at Halo, building off that, John made a series known as Army of the Chief, where you have Master Chief, the internet, basically, and another character by the name of the Arbiter, who's basically supposed to represent John. And the show is basically them going back and forth. And Arbiter is naturally the voice of reason and the voice of common sense. The early episodes were basically Arbiter saying, hey, stop being a jerk, you have a real attitude problem. Or, hey, stop being a horrible person, talk to girls properly. My favorite episode is actually the episode on girls, where Arbiter teaches Master Chief how to talk to girls and how to be a gentleman. And it's a really funny episode. They have like a whole Seinfeld montage. And was it Seinfeld? I don't exactly remember, but yeah. It really is a lot of fun. Other than Arby and the Chief, John had made some other Machinima series, like Hard Justice, Deus Ex Machina. He's done a few shorts here and there, like Bro Devoy, or Playing with the Chief, which is probably one of the better stuff of his earlier works. His playing with the chief is basically some guys are losing hard in a Halo round, and someone comes in, and he's weird because he's the voice of Master Chief, and he's crazy. But other than that, he's basically changed a lot. Like many normal filmmakers throughout the years, he's made many things and he's grown a lot. Arby and the Chief is very episodic for the first two, well, like 3, 4 seasons or so. And then, I don't know, probably around the end of season three, probably or in during season three, he started making episodes like more and more to be like have story arcs. And as of like the latest, like the fifth or the sixth episodes, like the past two have basically just been the same storyline, just like one singular plot. And really, that whole series has developed. Now, John has had experience making series with stories through, as seen in Deus Ex Machina and Heart Justice, although I would have to say that Arvin the Chief is definitely better, because those shows basically try to take themselves too seriously, while Heart Justice at first is meant to be ridiculous. And I don't know too much about Deus Ex Machina, because that just looked like crap to begin with, and John didn't even finish that show. He's like, "Yeah, I don't want to make this anymore." So, yeah. Well, Hard Justice was like comedic at points. It's definitely not as good as RB and the Chief is now. And while I'm not necessarily saying that what John is making now is like really good or anything, but the benefit that Arby and the Chief has over John's other more plot-based works is that Arby and the Chief knows that what they're doing, like machinima-wise, is just a game. And it's really interesting how John basically tries to work around this and tries to make this a lot more interesting. With the latest season and the end of the last season, he added importance to death, and the way he did that was by having the weapons be modded and hacked, and it would basically, if you were to be fragged by these weapons in game, you would be banned. And that was towards the end of the wedding season, and is now basically the story to the current season, which is still coming out. And because it is just a game, it takes on it. There's something more to it because it presents itself as a game and not like some serious work of fiction within a world. It actually makes a lot more sense because the whole premise to Arby and the Chief is that they're both just dolls that can walk and talk and drink alcohol and swear profusely and think. Well, more so Arbiter than Master Chief. And they, well, naturally like to play Halo. And working within the world of that and the video game world, we see, and working within this world, he actually manages to make the Arby and the Chief series a lot more realistic than his other shows. Because you know it's a video game, it seems a lot less ridiculous. While, yes, the whole premise of talking dolls is ridiculous, you could just have to go with it. And they do point out, it's like, hey, you just have to go with it. Now, another way that you can look at Arby and the Chief, and is certainly actually being explored within the recent season, is that They are toys that can walk, talk, think, and it's basically kind of like Toy Story. It's just what makes this show different from Toy Story, other than the fact that it's not made by Pixar, but it's just that because it's geared towards a different audience, that is, an older audience of guys who, like, I don't know, around play Halo, that tends to be like 14, I don't know, to 18, bit older, around my age, 18. You can have the characters be a little bit more complicated than just toys who want to serve their owner. Arbiter, in particular, has basically become some sort of miserable philosophical character who thinks about the nature of his existence and his search for some sort of meaning in his life, and unfortunately, because he recognizes that he is just a toy, that he's basically kind of become basically just some sort of mistake, you could say. And it's really kind of depressing to watch at times. Because I almost get the sense that because Arbiter is basically meant to be John Graham, I can't help but feel as though John is just kind of putting himself into his work. John actually says openly in an interview that Arbiter is supposed to be him, while Master Chief literally is supposed to be the internet. And, while I wouldn't necessarily say that Arbiter is a loser, if you are a thinking person and you are basically just a guy who sits around playing video games all day and then just hanging out on the internet here and there, life is pretty miserable because you can't really find love, like an AG co-host. You're not really doing anything worthwhile that you can say, look back once you're done and say, yeah, I'm really proud of myself, like an AG co-host. And one interesting thing that they've done within the recent season is Arbiter and Master Chief decided to make their own little show for YouTube, and it's called Hypermail, and John actually made it out himself. Just other episodes meant now at this point meant to be filler episodes where they just answer emails. But when they first made Hypermail, RB and the Chief were basically just reviewing video games. They only got two in. They reviewed that horrible video game, wink wink, Zelda the Ocarina of Time, and that horrible video game, wink wink, Eagle Eye, the James Bond game. And Arbiter's thinking, ah, I played these games when I was a kid, while Master Chief is just basically saying, graphics suck. Why, what's up with the stupid controller, Nintendo? People don't have three hands. But that aside, Arbiter has, in his quest for some sort of meaning, been creating something, like a certain AG co-host, and gotten his friends on it, like a certain AG co-host. If you couldn't tell, Arbiter is very. It's basically the type of character that you can identify with, because he's struggling against the fact that he's just a toy. And all he can really do is talk and walk. While John has said fairly explicitly that Arbiter does have some more meaning in life, you still can't escape the fact that he is plastic. And it presents some sort of very sinister, but also very realistic view on what machinima really is. and what you're basically watching. And this is something that John has actually talked about, like in some other videos, not just commentary tracks, but I believe it was his How to Do Machinima videos where he said, "You, if you're gonna make Machinima, you have to make the writing good, the editing good, the shots good, etc., etc. You have to make everything better, because what you're essentially showing people when you show someone Machinima is just video game footage edited. And unless you can create some sort of story that you're not unless you can actually make all of these other things good, you're not gonna draw people in." And he really is right at that point. There really is something just realistically speaking cruel about being a machine cinema creator. And you could almost say the same thing about animation and movies, 'cause when I take a step back, all I'm seeing it really is just a picture with some sound. More so for anime, I'm looking at drawings that move, and that's really all we're watching. And when I get that ho I this is something just awful about this view, but realistic. And from what I can tell from his various commentary tracks on his episode and what he said in interviews and what he's written on his blog, he seems to be basically this very realistic person who doesn't think I'm doing so he doesn't think that he's really doing anything great. And he does have like a lot of this self-depreciating humor. And while at times it does come across as a little bit harsh, because he's actually grown very to be a very good Machinima director throughout the few years that he's been making this, it is at the same point, at the same time, kind of realistic. And as for his growth, I would definitely have to say that not only has he grown, like, and actually gotten better at telling stories, he's also just grown as a Machinima director. And he'll use some more filming techniques, and he'll have some more cues and some more foreshadowing. And he's also basically grown through the forge. But aside from that, aside from John, there's something a little bit more interesting to talk about, like involving the game of Halo. In and of itself, like, the Halo games can actually get really boring. I myself, I haven't played Reach in months, but just the other night I played it, and I had to put it down after two matches, 'cause it's become a boring game. But what's kind of great about it is, other than the multiplayer and the campaign, which can get old after, I don't know, a couple hundred hours, it has other features like Forge, which basically allows you to build your own maps, which they've done really well in Reach. And what Machinima directors like John have used extensively is, and John actually does a very good job with using Forge and the other tools that Bungie has given the Halo community. And I would say that with these other tools, the fan community has done a lot of great things with them, because some of the maps, like fan-made maps, are actually incredible, better than the maps that the game comes with. But whatever. But honestly speaking, this might be a horrible thing. No, it is a horrible thing. That really is all that Halo really has to offer anymore. Because maybe it's just me. It's not a great game anymore. It was fun while it lasted, but I want to do some other things. And while I personally wouldn't do machinima, John did. So, that aside, I would definitely have to say that I don't know if people should watch Army and the Chief, because the show as a whole is hard to sell. But what I would have to say is that just this whole general rambling talk about John Graham and just who he is, horrible Canadian machinima director, because they're all horrible. I would have to say that if you're like me and you're looking for something to do on the internet, he's something worth checking out. But if you actually have things to do, not really. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say that he's bad, but unless you're kind of in the internet culture, a lot of this will pass you, and a lot of this will just be just filth. Kind of is basically nothing but filth. But even so, it's one of my guilty pleasures that I've never really said, ah, this is shit that I'm never gonna check out anymore. It's basically the one thing from Halo that I actually still enjoy. So, hopefully, if you've made it to this point, you haven't hit un unsubscribe or anything, and I would actually kind of find it hilarious if we suddenly got more popular after this episode, since we are literally just talking about some cool guy on the internet. But whatever. And you know what? I suppose it is kind of appropriate that I'm doing this on my own, because for the longest time, John would actually do his show on his own. And he still basically does most of the work. He does most of the filming, he does most of the puppeteering. It's basically what has changed with him doing all the work is that now he has some voice actors. While I'm sure there are some other people involved helping him, and he has like had some of his friends help him in the past, his shows have basically just been the product of that man's tireless labor. And now, beyond his show, he's actually begun making his own music for his shows, which we actually play very often on this show. Oftentimes, I'll be playing some of his tracks, like Reaching for the Cookie Jar, which is one of my favorites, which you'll probably hear at the end of the show or at the beginning of the show, if I didn't tell. And anyways, this is Jefferson. I, like Kiriko, am alone again. And this episode is proof of that. If you listen to this episode, then I'm sorry. If you expected Andy and Cassidy and Sunnily will no longer listen to AG because Andy and Cassidy did not appear, don't worry. At least one of them will be present for the next episode. If not, hopefully, something else can happen. But, until then, have a beautiful time.